Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hi, Laura. My name is Stephanie. I love what you do with the podcast, and I've been a listener for the past few years. I want to ask a question. How am I supposed to be able to pay off a $7,000 credit card debt, earning $2,000 every month, and still having to pay rent, car, insurance, and, you know, all the bills? And I don't mind you putting my voice on the podcast. Please let me know, because I really need your help. Thank you.
Thanks for your question, Stephanie. Many people are facing the same financial challenge with credit card debt. So I'm glad you asked the question, because paying down cards is essential for creating financial security. Cards with high credit lines are really easy to get because they charge such excessively high interest rates. And then paying those ridiculously high rates wastes the precious financial resources that you could use to build wealth for yourself instead of making card companies profitable. So this podcast will answer Stephanie's question and review seven strategies for paying off credit cards sooner rather than later. You'll learn various methods to consider and how to tackle debt based on your financial situation and goals. Hey, friends, thanks for joining me this week. I'm Laura Adams, an author, media spokesperson, and money speaker, hosting the Money Girl podcast since 2008 with over 42 million downloads. My mission is to help you get the knowledge and motivation to prioritize your finances, build wealth, and have more security and less stress. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, what are you waiting for? That is definitely the best way to ensure you never miss a weekly episode. Also, I love getting your questions, just like from Stephanie, on our voicemail line. You can leave a message at 302-364-0308, or you can send me an email using my contact page at lauradadams.com. I'm also the founder of The Money Stack, a weekly newsletter and community helping you build your bank account on your terms. It includes each week's Money Girl podcast, money tips, tools, things I'm enjoying like books, shows, products, and invitations to live educational events and the video replays. So while you're at lauradadams.com, I'd love for you to click the Money Stack link and sign up for free. All right, let's get into the seven strategies to pay off credit card debt. If you use credit cards for their convenience, rewards, and protections, and you pay off your balance in full each month, you are definitely getting the best of your credit cards because you're not paying the cards a penny for all those great benefits. But if you regularly carry balances and you're racking up high interest rate charges, you're letting your cards get the best of you. So I want to make sure you realize the impact of what these cards are costing you if you're carrying balances. And we're going to talk about seven strategies for reducing those balances or hopefully eliminating expensive credit card balances as soon as possible. All right, strategy number one is stop making new card charges. Now, while this may seem, you know, really obvious, you got to start somewhere. And if you're routinely carrying card balances from month to month, I want you to understand what that is costing you. Ultimately, it can double or even triple the original cost of a charged item, depending on your card's interest rate and how long it takes you to pay it off. And the average rate for cardholders with good credit is in the mid-20s. So that is a massive cost for something that, you know, probably is not giving you a whole lot of value. So the first step to improving your financial life is acknowledging your situation, acknowledging that you have credit card debt that you are not paying off in full. And are you making other mistakes with your cards? Like, you know, maybe you're taking cash advances. That is something you should never do because the interest rate is even higher on cash advances than it is for purchases. The bottom line is that if you are regularly financing a lifestyle that you can't afford using credit cards, that is a huge trap because they're going to get more and more challenging to pay off the longer you keep making more purchases and having more monthly interest accrue. So you've got to start somewhere. You got to stop the bleeding. And that means stop making new charges until you can take control of your cards fully and you can pay off any new charges in full each month. Yes, reining in your card spending will probably require sacrifices that won't be easy. And nothing worthwhile in life ever is easy, right? So you might consider some ways to earn extra income. It could be starting a side gig, finding a better paying job, asking for a raise, you know, looking for a promotion, getting a second job or a seasonal job, or even selling unused stuff that you have that has value. Also, look for ways to radically cut your costs. You want to first start by thinking about your largest expenses and if you can downsize those. So that's typically housing and transportation, like vehicles. Of course, you should also cut smaller expenses or unnecessary costs, like memberships, subscriptions, and entertainment, to free up more funds that you can use to pay off your debt. And remember, the spending cuts that you make to eliminate debt don't have to last forever. I want you to challenge yourself to stop all unnecessary expenses for at least a few months and shop all of your recurring bills. So the things that you've got to have, like insurance for your car, wireless plans, maybe cable TV, shop all of those for lower price products or better deals to save money that you can use for paying off those cards. The second strategy is to consider your big financial picture. So when you get serious about paying off credit cards, I want to recommend that you review the big picture of your entire financial life. For instance, do you have other dangerous debts or obligations that you should prioritize, like a tax delinquency, a legal judgment, unpaid child support, or a past due account with a collections agency? Now, assuming that you don't have any debts in default or dangerous debts, I want you to also pay attention to the importance of building a healthy emergency fund while you're also tackling your credit card debt. You need to do multiple things in parallel because not having a cash reserve could be a reason that you got into credit card debt in the first place. I recommend maintaining a minimum of 3 to 6 months worth of your living expenses. So these are the things that you have to have. They're not going to be the nice to have. These are the things you have to have. You want to keep that amount of living expenses in an FDIC insured high yield savings account. And of course, you're probably going to need to build it slowly while you're also chipping away at your top priority debts. So create a goal. Maybe, you know, if you want to have $1,200 in an account by the end of the year, that means putting in $100 a month starting today. The third strategy is to pay more than a card's minimum. Many people who can pay more than their monthly card minimums don't do it. The problem with this is that your minimums go primarily toward interest, and they're not reducing your balance significantly, if at all. So let's say, for example, if your card charges 15% APR, which would be pretty competitive, and you've got a $5,000 balance, your minimum payment could be 4% of the balance. And let's say you never use that card again. That card would take you 10 and a half years to pay off if you're only paying the minimum balance. And here's the worst part. You would pay almost $2,400 in interest. That's half of the balance that you're trying to pay off. So this is a really conservative example because, as I mentioned, many people are paying credit card interest rates that are in the mid-20s, even up to the upper 20s. So after stopping making any new purchases on the card, paying more than a card's minimum is, you know, a huge step in the right direction. The fourth strategy is to tackle your debts from the highest to lowest interest rate. So to create a debt payoff plan, you want to list out all your debts. So this is going to include everything, your credit cards. Maybe you have a bank line of credit, a mortgage, a HELOC, a loan. Jot them all down on paper, or you could enter them in a Google Sheet. You could also use my personal financial statement template, which is a free download. It's a free gift when you subscribe to my weekly newsletter that I mentioned, The Money Stack. And that's a part of the free Money Success Toolkit that you get, which also includes a financial planning workbook. So there's a lot of great resources there. So using my personal financial statement template will prompt you to include your debt balances, the interest rates, and payoff dates for any installment loans. Then it's going to prompt you to rank your debts from highest to lowest interest rate, giving them a payoff priority. So remember that the higher a debt's interest rate, the more it costs you in interest per dollar of debt. So getting rid of the highest interest debts first saves you the most. Plus, you can use the savings to put more toward your debt balance and to even pay more on your next highest interest debt. So that allows you to get out of debt faster. And if you have several credit cards, a common question I hear is, well, how do I prioritize those cards? I'm going to encourage you to rank them the exact same way, from highest to lowest interest rate. However, if a credit card is not the most expensive debt you have, or as I mentioned, you've got other dangerous debts that you need to address, the credit card should be lower on your priority list. Generally, debts with tax deductions like mortgages, home equity lines of credit, equity loans, and student loans should be paid off last. Not only do they charge relatively low interest rates, but they cost even less on an after-tax basis, provided, of course, that you claim a tax deduction for them. Now, I do want to mention that there are other ways to tackle your credit cards. The one that I mentioned here, going from highest to lowest interest rate, is often called the debt avalanche. But I want to mention some other strategies just so you've got some options to consider. So the debt avalanche is when you pay off debts from the highest to lowest interest rate. So you would pay off an 18% credit card balance before a 5% student loan because that 18% credit card is costing you more in interest. As I mentioned, I really like this method because it's the most cost-effective in the long run. But a lot of people like the debt snowball. This is when you pay off debts in order of the smallest to largest balances, no matter what the interest rates are. For instance, if you have a $1,000 student loan balance at 5% and a $2,500 credit card balance that's charging you 18%, you would wipe out the student loan first because it is a smaller debt. It's only $1,000 compared to the $2,500 credit card. The idea is that maybe you can get rid of that small debt faster, and that can motivate you to stay disciplined and eliminate your more significant debts. You know, that is certainly a strategy to consider. It's really just going to depend on what your debt balances look like. And the third method is called the debt landslide. This is when you pay off debts in order of the newest to oldest. So this method can help you improve your credit while you reduce debt. For instance, if you got a student loan after you opened a credit card, you would pay off the student loan first. So the idea here is that it's boosting your credit because more weight is given to activity on newer accounts than older ones. I'm not a huge fan of this method because, you know, while raising your credit scores might be really important if you're recovering from financial hardship or you're thinking about a big purchase like a home, but whether you pay off an account or not, simply making timely payments on that account is enough for you to keep great credit. So while I prefer a debt avalanche approach, there really isn't a right or wrong way to pay off debt. Any method that you can get motivated to stick with and make some steady progress is going to be a good one. I have snowballed small debts because I just wanted to be done with them. You know, maybe I had just maybe a $500 balance or something small that I just really wanted to go away. And it was not my highest interest debt. Paying that off, you know, can give you a lot of peace of mind. So I'm not trying to downplay that method. Again, find a strategy and a plan that will work best to keep you motivated.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
All right, the fifth strategy for paying off your credit cards is to use your assets to pay them off. So if you've got assets like savings and investments that you can use to pay down high-interest credit cards, it may make sense. Remember that you still need to keep a healthy cash reserve in the bank, like several months of living expenses, as I mentioned. So I don't want you to drain your savings to pay off debt. You still need savings in the bank. If you don't have any or enough emergency money, you really need to take that just as seriously as paying off your credit cards. So consider what tangible assets you could sell, like unused sporting goods, jewelry, or a vehicle to raise cash, and it could increase your financial cushion, or if you've already got enough in the bank, that money could help decrease your credit card balance. Strategy number six, consider a balance transfer offer. If you cannot pay off a credit card using your existing assets, you might consider optimizing it. This is when you move a debt from a higher interest option to a lower interest option. And typically, it's by utilizing a balance transfer credit card. So taking advantage of these balance transfer promotions temporarily reduces the interest you pay. It could be 0% interest, giving you some financial breathing room. Now, you do have to make minimum payments on a balance transfer card, but you're not going to accrue new interest on the account. So what happens is you apply for the promotional offer. Again, it could be paying 0% interest for something like 12 months, 18 months, maybe even up to 24 months if it's a really great offer. And then every transfer is going to be subject to a fee that could range anywhere from 2%. I've seen them go as high as 5%. I would say if you see an offer in the 3% range, maybe 4%, those are pretty good. And so that amount of fee is going to get added to your card balance. So by transferring higher interest debt to a zero interest credit card, you avoid accruing new interest, and you're going to save money that hopefully can help you pay down that balance faster. However, the amount you can transfer is going to depend on the credit line that an issuer offers you. So if you don't have good credit, you may not get approved for a balance transfer, or maybe you can only put a portion of your debt on a transfer card. You might use a comparison site like Finder.com to shop for the best balance transfer cards. You're going to look for the lowest interest, the lowest transfer fees, the lowest annual fees. Choose an offer where you're going to come out ahead, even accounting for the transfer fee. I recommend always paying off a balance transfer before the promotion expires. For instance, if you get approved to transfer $3,000 to a card charging 0% for 12 months, you should make monthly payments of at least 1/12. So that would be $250 monthly. So that full balance will be eliminated before the promotion expires and your interest rate goes up. The seventh strategy is to consolidate your high rate balances. A common question I receive about credit cards is whether it's wise to consolidate balances. Many people are worried that consolidation is a scam or that it's going to hurt their credit. Debt consolidation is a legitimate way to shift higher interest debt to a lower interest account. I know it may seem counterintuitive to use new debt to get out of old debt, but it all comes down to the interest rate you're paying. If you're going to have to pay an interest rate, you might as well pay a lower one. So depending on the terms that you get offered, consolidating can be an excellent way to reduce your interest rate and get out of debt faster. It's certainly not going to reduce the original amount of debt you owe, but transferring or thinking about reorganizing it can reduce your interest rate and just make it easier to pay off. So we'll go through four different ways you might consolidate credit card debt. The first is with a personal loan. So in this situation, you would take out a fixed rate personal loan and pay off your higher rate credit card. You're going to make monthly payments during a set repayment term. It's usually 3 or 5 years, and the rate and terms that a personal loan lender offers you usually depends on factors like your income and credit. So the better your credit, the lower the interest rate you might get. Remember that even though a personal loan may cut your interest, the shorter your repayment schedule, the higher your monthly payments will be. So you risk hurting your credit if you can't repay a personal loan as agreed. So make sure the term is structured so that those monthly payments are going to be manageable for you. But even if you have to stretch a little bit, think about the fact that if you've got a credit card charging you 22%, paying it off with an 8% fixed rate personal loan over 3 years would allow you to save a lot of interest and get that debt off your plate within a 3-year period. In addition, having an additional loan added to your credit history helps you build credit if you make payments on time. And doing a consolidation also works in your favor by reducing your credit utilization ratio when you use that loan to reduce your credit card debt. So in general, a loan consolidation generally improves your credit and does not hurt it. If you want to learn more, podcast number 782 is called How Consolidating Credit Card Debt Affects Your Credit Scores. Another way to consolidate is with a home equity line of credit called a HELOC for short, or a home equity loan. If you're a homeowner with at least 20% equity, you will probably qualify for a HELOC or equity loan. For example, if your home's market value is $400,000 and your outstanding mortgage balance is $300,000, you would have $100,000 in equity. That's 25%, giving you enough equity to qualify. So a HELOC is a revolving line of credit. It comes with a variable interest rate that allows you to borrow an amount up to your credit line. It's kind of like a credit card where you only have to pay back what you use, but it's using your home as collateral without needing to refinance your existing mortgage. And a home equity loan gives you a lump sum to repay over a set term, such as 5, even up to 30 years with a fixed interest rate. Since a HELOC and an equity loan are secured debt, they're secured by your home, they typically charge lower interest rates than an unsecured personal loan. And those funds can be used any way you like, such as for home renovations or paying off higher rate debt. However, if you use a HELOC or an equity loan to buy, build, or improve your home, a portion of the interest you pay is tax deductible. But that is not the case if you use the funds for anything else, like a debt consolidation. So the main downside of tapping your home equity with a HELOC or loan is that if you default, you risk losing your home to foreclosure. So you need to be really certain that you can make those payments. Plus, there are closing costs similar to getting a mortgage, which add to the cost of borrowing. So consider getting multiple quotes, including from your current mortgage lender. Another way to do a consolidation is using a retirement plan loan. If you have a workplace retirement account or you're self-employed with a solo 401k, most of these plans allow you to take out loans with a 5-year repayment term. Now, note that loans are never an option with an IRA, like a SEP IRA or a traditional IRA or Roth IRA. So it's got to be a 401k or another type of workplace loan. While you must repay these loans with interest, it's typically relatively low, and it's got to go back into your account. In addition, there's no credit check, there's no underwriting requirement or fees since you're borrowing your own money. You can borrow 50% of your vested balance, or up to $50,000, whichever is less. And you can use a retirement account loan for any reason, including paying off high interest debt. But remember, borrowed funds do not get invested in the market during that repayment period, which could jeopardize your retirement if you don't have enough working for you. Another consideration is that a retirement loan must be repaid in full within 60 days if you leave your job or get terminated. So if you don't do that, if you can't repay the full amount within that time period, it gets considered an early withdrawal, which is subject to both income taxes and a 10% penalty if you're younger than age 59 and a half. To learn a little bit more, you might go back to podcast number 770 called Taking 401k Loans, 11 Pros and Cons You Should Know. So let's say you use one or more of these strategies to pay off your credit cards. You may wonder, well, what should I do with them once they're paid off? Well, if maintaining good credit is one of your goals, and I think it should be, I want you to keep your paid off cards instead of canceling them. To maintain or improve your credit, you must have credit accounts open in your name, and you've got to use them regularly. A good way to use those paid off cards might be making small purchases from time to time, like literally charging, you know, a $10 item once a quarter and then paying it off in full. That's enough to add positive data to your credit reports. You do not need to carry a balance from month to month or pay any interest on a credit card to build excellent credit. Stephanie, I want to thank you again for your voicemail and hope this has given you some direction. If you're enjoying Money Girl, please take a moment to let us know by rating and reviewing the show in your podcast app. That's all for now. I'll talk to you next week. Until then, here's to living a richer life. Money Girl is a quick and dirty tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Steve Rickyberg. Our director of podcasts is Brandon Gaches. Our digital operations specialist is Holly Hutchins. Our advertising operations specialist is Morgan Christensen. Our marketing and publicity associate is Davina Tomlin. And our marketing assistant is Cameron Lacey.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.